Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. On this day, Saturday morning, March 7th, 2015, on this glorious, beautiful morning in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm your host this morning. Your radio host, my name is Cedric Shabazz. And this show is called God Brothers Radio. It's also known as Revolutionary Soul Talk Radio, the People's Talk Show. And today's topic, we're going to talk about reparations. Before I do that, I'd just like to say that this morning, my wife and I, we both woke up in our new living quarters, new location. And so it's a blessing after 7 years to be blessed to be living in a new location. And so we're very happy and we're very ecstatic. And we'd just like to say thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for blessing us and watching us over the years. And that's all I like to say on that point. So getting back to the show today, we're talking about reparations. And I had mixed emotions about reparations. I do understand what reparations are about. That is to correct the wrong to a nationality, ethnic, or race, or a religious collectively trying to make some, not really, you can't make all the wrongs right, but you can at least compensate, you know, governments can compensate classes of people that have been done wrong. And so I look back over the years of the United States government, our beloved country, and the reparations they handed out to, and I haven't really did any studying on it. I do know a little about the reparations that were given to the Japanese Americans that were had their constitutional rights violated back in war of 1941 or 42, the beginning of the World War, when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. What happened back then is the government went ahead and rounded up all Japanese Americans, American or not, and basically told them to report to a local concentration camp. They weren't called concentration camps back in the day, but they were called something else. And so, you know, thousands of Japanese Americans were rounded up by their own government and United States and put into these camps until the end of World War II. They were never compensated for that till years later, with the survivors or the families, survivors of those Japanese Americans were each given, I think they were given $20,000 each for that injustice. And I don't know how they came up to the dollar amount or the calculations to come up with that. But, you know, that was somewhat of compensation to the family of Japanese America. Does it heal all wounds that their own government went ahead and treated them like enemies of the state because of their race and nationality at the time? Absolutely, I don't know. But the reparations I'm talking about is something that's been brought out on a larger level, I would say, with us African Americans. Have been brought to here as slaves in a year of I think the first slave ship came through Jamestown, Virginia in 1716. And to my knowledge, 20 Africans were delivered from Dutch settlers, Dutch ship. And to my knowledge, just the beginning of the United States of America and dealing with anything having to do with African slaves. We were, as African Americans, we were slaved for 250 years in America. And we traditionally or statistically have only been freed physically for 146 years. I'm not sure. I really have to do my data. 154 years that we actually have been physically free. According to 1865, amendment signed by, I don't know if it's called amendment, excuse me, but our president then, Abraham Lincoln, freeing us slaves, African slaves back in the day, to my knowledge, was 1865. So if you do the math, if you subtract 1015 from 1865, I guess you'll get the correct a number on how long we've been physically not in chains, so if you want to say that, to be literally not in chains. So we've been enslaved for 96 years longer than we have been physically free at this time. So, and the reason why I make that point up on that note, I feel like if you want to judge us African Americans collectively, where we at as a people, you have to wait till 96 more years, to be fair. So give us 96 more years before you make any kind of judgment on us African Americans collectively in the United States of America, because it's only fair. I mean, if we were enslaved for 250 years, why can't we all wait until we have not physically been enslaved for 250 years, and then we could all of us, regardless of our political point of views or anything else, then we could actually sit down and say, you know what, your African Americans have been enslaved for 250 years, and you've been freed physically for 250 years. So once we're at that point, then I could honestly say that the government, I could honestly say that individual groups, organizations, and individuals, period, in the United States of America, regardless of what race, religion, or politics you come from, could actually make a judgment on us African Americans in 96 more years about where we're at collectively. But you've got to be fair about it. You can't make a judgment on us if we still have 96 years to go to being free physically for 250 years. I personally, about reparations, I wasn't too fond about that. I remember back in the day they used to say there used to be a movement going on, and I don't know what particular organizations or groups or anything that it was a big thing because I wouldn't say we were promised, but I forgot what statutes they were or what laws that were trying to be passed back in the day after slavery. I don't know. I think maybe it was in the 1900s, maybe 1920, maybe earlier than that, where there were a couple laws passed, and I think is in the state of Georgia, we're trying to get passed where us African slaves back in the day, upon being free, were supposed to be given every black family, to my knowledge, was supposed to be giving, or the head of the family, 40 acres and a meal. 40 acres and a meal to work their land and to provide for their family. And the land was supposed to be their land in ownership for their contribution. Our ancestry's African contribution to building the wealth, to build the wealth of the United States of America, especially out of the South. The tobacco industry and the cotton gin industry would not be where it is today if it wasn't for the enslavement and enforced labor of us African Americans. So let's get that straight. I did some research, and it says that a minimum estimate of $20 trillion, that the United States of America had made, $20 trillion, or the corporations in the United States of America, slave owners, made $20 trillion off the enslavement, the forced enslavement of free labor of us Africans. So let's get that straight. We and that's a minimum estimate. Now, am I saying that the United States of America government owns collectively the black, the African American community compensation for us being slaves and contributing to the wealth of this country? Yes, I do. I reversed my decision after doing more studying, and it really bothered me. It really bothered me that to this day, that us African Americans, who are supposedly maybe about 22 million, maybe 22 million, maybe 25 million strong, population-wise in the United States of America, and if people don't know, us Black folks, we're only like 10, if not 11%, of the population of the United States of America. I mean, there's for some reason, some people get this thing in their mind that us Black people are like 50% of the United States population, and we're not. We're only 10. We're a small percentage of people of African descent that actually live and was born in the United States of America. We're only 11%, 10 to 11% of 300 million of us U.S. citizens, and that's a small percentage. So let's say we're 25 million. Let's say we're 25 million strong. Black men, Black women of African descent in the United States on this day, March 7th, 2015. Let's just hypothetically say that's the case. Well, it is a fact that I think in the beginning of the year 2000 that our Hispanic brothers and sisters, mainly our Mexican brothers and sisters out here on the West Coast, are now 30 million strong. 30 million strong in the U.S. that we know of, statistically. So what happened was our Hispanic brothers and sisters, mostly from Mexican-American descent or Mexican descent, are now, by fact, the biggest so-called minority in the United States of America right now. They surpass us African-Americans by at least 5 million people right now. So right now, us African-Americans, we're no longer the biggest minority in the United States anymore. We're now the second biggest minority in the United States behind our Hispanic brothers and sisters. So our position collectively as far as being minority status in the United States of America has dropped significantly with those updated facts. So other than that, the main reason why I believe that the United States of America owes reparations to us African Americans is, and I mean just us African Americans, and the reason I say that is because there is other Africans that live in the United States that are not traditionally African Americans. What I mean is that we have our African brothers that have come from immigration or immigrants that have come to the United States from different continents of Africa, namely Somalia, Ethiopia, and Nigeria. Those three continents of African immigrants have always been a good influx into the United States of America. Also, we have our African brothers and sisters of descent from Haiti, Jamaica, all our brothers and sisters from the British West Indies that their family are from Jamaica and all that, and West Indies like that, Aruba and Cancun and not Cancun, but all in the West Indies there. But they're not African Americans. They're not. I'm sorry to say. I mean, if they were born in America, and they happen to be, their parents happen to be from Jamaica, then they're considered African American. But they're not considered African American unless they were born here and from African descent, and if they went through their the legal channels of immigration to become United States American citizens. So if you're from Africa and you're from immigration and you get a U.S. citizen, and now that you're a U.S. citizen through immigration ways, well, you're not entitled to reparations from the United States government. Only African Americans are entitled to reparations of what they were done to specifically us African Americans, should be the only ones that should be receiving any kind of reparations from the United States government of America, my beloved, our beloved country. But on that note, I have about 15 minutes left in this show, so I have some interesting, I would say, things to read. But first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the reparation catalog title, what I kind of got. So what I'm kind of saying, because I am kind of bubbling my words right now, so do forgive me, it's live radio. Once again, my name is Cedric Shabazz, live Saturday morning on God Brothers Radio, live from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. And, you know, I had been studying that first African American slaves were brought by a Dutch ship, like I said, to the British colonies in 1619. And so I was wrong. I said 1716, but the first slaves were brought to Jamestown in 1619. So forgive me for me not being totally on top of everything right now. Once again, if you want to call in and discuss about this subject called reparations, feel free to call in at 213-943-3508. Once again, 213-943-3508. And, you know, I changed my mind on this stuff because the thing is that I used to think, like a lot of people thought, that since we were giving our voting rights in 1965, which is only 50 years ago, which is not long ago at all, and us African Americans have only had the right to vote for our own best interest since 1965, it has not been long at all. We haven't had our full rights as human beings, as American United States American citizens. We haven't had our full rights restored to us. Yes, you could say we've had the right to vote for 50 years, but 200 years before that, we didn't have a say so on anything in our lives. We didn't have a say so of what wife we were going to have, or what babies we were going to make, or we didn't have a right to read. We were slaves, so we were not supposed to learn how to read English, because the slave owners didn't want us to communicate together and scheme against them, or plan against them, or plot against them. So they felt like if they kept us ignorant and we didn't know how to read or write, we didn't know what they were saying when they were planning against us and talking about us. So now, you know, getting back to the reparations thing, do I have a dollar amount that I think the United States government could give to each African American family or whoever, how they decide to do that? No, I don't. I don't have details, and that's one of the. And that's one of the main things, is that the opponents of reparations were saying, well, you know, how can you come up to a dollar amount? How can you make sure that if you do give them reparations, that the right people from so-and-so families get the money? And this is the biggest concern that I've heard, is that people were concerned that people who had no direct, were not slave owners, which I mean the families that were slave owners, their kids and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, a lot of people says are shouldn't have to pay for something that their ancestors done. And I believe that. I believe that, you know, this is not a question of too much, if so much pointing the finger or anything like that. But what I am saying, What I am saying is this, literally, that us African Americans collectively are not concerned about other people's feelings on what the United States should give us reparations or not. That is collectively, that's not even a topic to us. We have other things to worry about as far as collectively as African Americans. So we're not going to be insensitive to people's feelings on that. But it's really a non-discussion to me, as far as I'm concerned, and it's a non-subject. And I believe that, and I really believe that the majority of people, regardless of what race or nationality or religion that you profess or don't profess, I believe the majority of people want us African Americans to be paid by the United States of America reparations for our enslavement to this country of contributing minimum $20 trillion to this government. Now, I don't want to hear all this shit about, well, you guys should just be glad you're out of your chains, and you should be glad that you're not in Africa living in a hut. You should be glad that this and that. You should thank your God for this and that. Yeah, we thank God for, because we love God. Don't get it wrong. God is who we are inside of us. So that's not even be a question. Regardless of our beliefs of Christianity, Islam, or the original Judaism with original Hebrews, but what I'm saying is reparations. Yeah, it's messy. There's dollar amounts. There's how you're going to do this. Where the money's going to come from? A lot of opponents say, hey, you know what? I'm not paying. You know, I shouldn't have to pay so much money out of my taxes to pay back for what this country did to your ancestors. And I respect everybody's opinion, but then again, like I said, this is something between us African American citizens and our government of the United States. It shouldn't be in the discussion with anyone else. So, do I have any further details on how this could be achieved? No. So, I don't have all the answers. I don't. But I guess what I'm saying is I wanted to make it clear that what my position was. I do believe in reparations. I believe that if the United States of America, Thomas Jefferson went ahead and vetoed a particular amendment back then when he became president of the United States. And I might be wrong. It might have been Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson or Andrew Jackson, one of those two. I'm not sure. And they vetoed a bill that was passed, I think, in the state of Georgia, for the state of Georgia. They were going to give us 40 acres and a mule. And I believe that they would have gave us that 40 acres and a mule right now. I would believe that us African-Americans collectively would be financially wealthy. I believe that we wouldn't have a 50% incarceration rate in the United States prisons. I believe that 2.3 million prisoners in the United States of America's prison system. I believe that that we wouldn't have 1 million African Americans in that prison system. And it tells you something's wrong right there. If you have a population of 25 million as a people, and 1 million of your people is 50% of the prison system in the country, then there's something obviously not disproportionately wrong, especially when we're 50% of the prison population in the United States of America, in federal penitentiaries and state penitentiaries, and we're only what 10% of the population of 300 million people. So basically, what you're saying is, not only that, we're not the biggest minority in the United States no more. We're the second biggest minority in the United States now. And you're telling me that we're 50% of the prison population, and nobody wants to know why? Well, you know, I really believe if we were given our 40 acres and a mule, that we would not be 50% of the prison population, because 80% of black males that are incarcerated in the prison system are there for drug sales, selling drugs to their own people. So if you got 80% of black men are in jail for selling drugs to their own people, okay, what you have did, you have 80%. That tells you that there's some kind of financial discrepancy for us black males to get good jobs and get paying jobs. Now, you want to go back and say, well, if they got educated and they did this and did that, yeah, that's true. If I was a black male and I got educated and I got a BA degree, yes, I'm better off than the average person who doesn't have the BA degree. But I tell you, I'm still going to have to go there and do a song and dance to get a job with a BA, and most likely I'll be the last person they pick for that job, because there'll be other people, non-black people, who will be ahead of me with the same experience, but they most likely will get the job, because that's always been our experiences as black men and women, that even if we were just experienced, had the education than everybody else, but for some reason everybody wants us to do the tap dance and a song and dance and begs for jobs. And to this point, right now they're saying that the unemployment rate is 5.5%, the lowest since before President Obama took over. Fine, but the black male population as far as unemployment is still the highest in the country, and that's what I'm saying here. So people were saying, well, what can we do to help the black man make some money? Well, the fact is the whole notion of reparations was that you cannot – I'm not saying you cannot create jobs, or not jobs, but they had a brother the other day on CNN, and I forgot his name, is I don't want to put his name out there, and he was talking about, well, the United States government needs a specific job training class for African American men. And I'm thinking, like, you know what? I agree with that. That could be done. But I'm also going to say this. There's plenty of us African-American men out there who got skills, who know how to work, who are naturally workers, but people are just not going to give us jobs because we have felonies and we have all this stuff on our record. And they use that as an excuse not to even give you a janitor's job to push the broom. You know, people like excuses not to give people chances nowadays, and that's the truth. And if you're a black man going in there begging for a job to sweep a floor, and you got one felony, even if you don't got a felony, you get treated like a felon. Well, I'm a black man. I'm almost 50 years old, and I never had a felony, and I'm still at the bottom of any kind of money-making situation in America, and I don't have a felony. So that tells you what a black man do got a felony. So I don't want to hear all that stuff about this and that and this and that. Bottom line is that, you know, most likely we'll never give our 40 acres in a meal. I won't put no more energy in trying to talk about reparations again, because most likely that'll never happen again. But my bottom line is that as far as us African American businessmen and businesswomen and community in the United States of America, it goes down to this: we have to take care of ourselves, and it's always been that way. But I think that should be the number one rule in an African-American community now, is we got to stop looking to the government, got to stop looking to other people to solve our financial problems, and we just need to go ahead and just worry about our God and ourselves. And everybody else is going to judge us anyway, so don't pay them no attention. Love your God. Love your family. Love everybody. Once again, this is Cedric Shabazz. It was nice talking to you on this Saturday morning. I got 40 seconds left. And once again, if you'd like to continue to support God Brothers Radio, you could do so by contributing donations. And you could go to Zazzle, Zazzle.com/ Cedric Shabazz, CedricShabazz. You could go there once again to Zazzle, Zazzle.com/ Cedric Shabazz, CedricShabazz, and purchase a hat, a shirt, and a letter. I got over 200 logos, 5,000 products at that store, and I thank you so much.